Is it governance by Kumbaya moment? President Obama had a health care summit in Washington yesterday. The meeting was attended by lawmakers, doctors, and seven average Americans who claimed they were going to roll up their sleeves and get to work reforming health care in the United States. It was a major issue in the presidential campaign. And with all of the crisis in the economy, getting to health care seems to be third, fourth, or fifth on the list of priorities in America. But to Dr. Marcia Angel, who's senior lecturer in social medicine at Harvard Medical School and former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. Perhaps it's job one in the United States. And Dr. Angel, first of all, I'm very thrilled to have you on the program. It's nice to talk to you again.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here.
And let's take a look at that kind of touchy-feely moment at the healthcare summit in Washington. You see a lot of the same characters back in play who were part of the Clinton healthcare initiative.
You certainly do.
but they sound a lot older and more in need of healthcare in some cases. What do you make of this approach to healthcare? It seems very open-ended as opposed to very specific on the part of the Clintons. And it seems as though cost is not part of the debate in the early going.
Well, I think it was. I mean, that was the one high point for me of yesterday's summit. Everyone seemed to agree with the president that cost is the central issue, that without containing costs and containing their rapid rise, any reform is useless. So I think that was helpful. We didn't hear that 15 years ago. But other than that, it was, as you say, a kumbaya moment. It was politics, not policy, a lot of nice rhetoric, a lot of people pleading for their special interests. The fight hasn't begun, but it will. You can count on that.
Now, it does seem as though cost is off the table in the sense that Obama has said we got $637 billion. That's what it's going to be. And so cost containment over 10 years, right. And cost containment comes out of getting whatever program they come up with to fit. There was a lot of talk yesterday about if we don't get everything, that shouldn't keep us from getting something. Where do you think the key compromise thresholds are going to be?
Well, you really can't compromise in the sense that anything you do to expand coverage, and Obama is committed to that, will inevitably increase costs unless you change the system entirely. And as you suggest, the same old characters were there. There isn't any real sense of an overhaul of the system, just tinkering around the edges. So anything you do to increase coverage will increase costs, and anything you do to control costs will decrease coverage. Those two things have to move in parallel, and the president doesn't seem to really be willing to accept that yet. He's looking for some magic bullet that will allow him both to increase coverage and decrease costs, and there is no such bullet if you don't change the system entirely.
This is Farai, and it strikes me that there is a cascade effect that could happen with all the people becoming unemployed. Even people who want to keep coverage, some of them are saying, you know what, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to become uninsured. Other people downgrade their plans, and they find themselves having, frankly, you know, enormous deductibles. I know someone who rolled the dice on a lower plan, and then his son broke his leg, and it was $1,400 out of pocket. What do you think the ramifications will be overall?
That's a very good point. One big difference this time from the last time in 1993 is that business is hurting. You can just kiss employer-based insurance goodbye, really, as you point out. I mean, there may be insurance in the sense that on paper they have insurance, but it's insurance they can't afford to use because the deductibles and co-payments are so high, or else the package is too skimpy to really be useful. So we are seeing business pull out of this health care industry.
And that's also been going on. Let's stop there for a moment, because that's an enormously significant trend, and Fry has identified it. The question really is, does this economic downturn provide an opportunity to really revamp the incentive structure in healthcare so that we don't have the profit incentives for big pharma or the profit incentives for managed care like we've traditionally had, which so derailed the 93 plans?
Well, that's my hope. I'm not all that optimistic. I think the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry has not yet begun to fight. They're talking nicely now, but they're not going to keep that up. But it would be my hope, because I think for the first time, other American industries are seeing that these two giant industries are bleeding them, that they can't afford to compete globally because so much of their revenues are going out the back door for health care. So the business community, which in 1993, for ideological reasons, sided with the health insurance industry, now they're splitting off. Now they're saying, look, we can't afford this anymore.
So it's a bailout. They're looking for a bailout, and we've already got bailouts going. A health care bailout wouldn't be so radical.
Right. Now, but you just touched on the major problem, which is that we are the only advanced country in the world that has left health care to a profit-driven system. We treat health care like a market commodity, which we distribute according to the ability to pay and not according to medical need. And we leave it to investor-owned insurance companies and largely for-profit health facilities. This is extremely wasteful. It drives up costs. So we spend over twice as much per person for health care as other advanced countries. It makes no sense.
Well, bad numbers going into a debate that's likely to get much more heated as we proceed. Thanks for giving us some data there out of the Kumbaya moment in Washington. Dr. Marcia Angel is senior lecturer in social medicine at Harvard Medical School, former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. She joined us from Boston. Thank you, doctor.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.